You know, so often we think that it takes some big effort, some massive movement, some outstanding thing. You know, I am a Christian today in part, and I say in part, I mean, there's a lot of just reasons, a lot of things and influences in my life, and I love to just be able to try to put some of those together, but I am one significant influence in my life. I'm a Christian today in part because of a kid who decided to visit my dorm room and to spend some time in my world. I thought he was annoying at first. He was that one Christian kid that I didn't want anything really to do with. Well, I grew up in the church, you all know that, but I kind of moved away from that, and here he is, and he keeps coming by. And he gave me this tapestry. I couldn't get rid of it. It had a picture of Jesus on it, and then the last thing I could do, I mean, at least I had that in me. I couldn't throw that away. And his instructions for me I have no clue why he picked me. But his instructions were, you know, you need to give this to somebody and pass this along to somebody before you leave this college. It was just an insignificant little town in the northern Midwest part of this country, insignificant place, small college, insignificant people, and yet, for me, the most significant thing in the world. Because that event and those visits would come back to me several different times. You know, I think it's really easy for us, I've discovered this, just for us to just be a bit to have this bit of an inferiority complex about where you are, who you are, what you do, what your abilities are, as if somehow God were limited by our inabilities or our insignificance, or at least our perceived insignificance. The story that we're going to look at this morning is in Matthew chapter 2. This little insignificant town, at least that's what everybody's perception was, the town of Bethlehem. Just an insignificant little place on a map. 6 miles or so from outside the major city of Jerusalem. I love to hear those pages moving. 6 miles or so outside the major city of Jerusalem. Not particularly known for anything spectacular. I mean, well, it had its historical moments, but something of immense significance happened there, which really shaped the way that the future would look at that little town. Matthew chapter 2, it just simply says this. Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Did you notice that they don't even come to Bethlehem? They don't go there. They don't go. What they do is they go to the city. They go to the big place. They go to the significant place, the place where the king was, the place where the temple was. They came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah." You know, the odd thing is, that really isn't what they said. It's one of those places that where it's really fascinating to see how the New Testament uses the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament prophet said this, "Judah, you are the least Judah, you are insignificant. You are the smallest of all places. And yet by the time that this comes, by the time that this event here happens, it's no longer true that it's the smallest, least insignificant, inferior place. But you, Bethlehem, he says in verse number 6, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. I mean, you know how it sounds, right? I mean, Scripture says it in something like this. It says, well, how can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, there's no prophet from Galilee, is there? Can anything happen in a little town like Bethlehem that really matters? I think it's just such a fascinating thing here. It's a place here, it's a place of tragedy, according to chapter 2 and verse number 18 and in Matthew. There's this voice that's heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. This here, Bethlehem, is a place of tragedy. This is where the favorite wife of Jacob dies. This is, however, the place of God's sustenance. It's a place that's named House of Bread, Bethlehem. The place where God had established in some way that He would be the sustainer of people. It's the home, ultimately, of the king, King David, the birthplace of King David. It's funny how places are known for things, isn't it? Otherwise unknown places on a map. Until, say, April of 1999, who of you had ever heard of Columbine? Just a place on a map, totally insignificant, doesn't have a lot of meaning. And quite honestly, you could live here in Viroqua and never really know much about it. For example, how many of you know that originally in Viroqua, the original inhabitants were the Native American Ho-Chunk? How many of you knew that? I trust that a few of you did. I expect that Terry knew that. That probably was a test quiz before, on a test somewhere. And they were moved out in the 1820s. I don't really know much about that history or how they were moved out. I imagine that they were moved on to some other reservations or something. I don't know. But the early settlers arrived in this area in the mid-1840s. They began to build sawmills, and farmers then, just a little short time after that, something like 1846, began to arrive. And you know, it's just interesting to look at the history of things. You know, it's just something about places that just seem to have a story that goes with them. And you know what? That's Bethlehem. You know, if Jerusalem, which we looked at last week, if Jerusalem is the place of worship, then Bethlehem is the place of restoration. Bethlehem is the place of engagement. Bethlehem is the place of involvement. When Jesus leaves, he says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Bethlehem is always sent him. Bethlehem is where you get the image of what it meant for Jesus to be sent into a world and to this insignificant place, small on a map, small in form, helpless as a child, born in a stable to an insignificant couple, otherwise totally unknown. And that's the nature of what I think about when I think of this city, when I think of this place, when I think about this little unincorporated burg outside of Jerusalem. I just find myself wrestling with the title of a book that was produced a number of years ago by a fellow named Francis Schaeffer and his wife. And the title of that book, No Little Places, No Little People. I guess I would add to that, No Little Acts, No Little Things, No Little Services, No Little Ministry. interesting. I mentioned a little earlier the guy that kept stopping by my dorm room when I was attending a university, Bemidji State University. Not really a, you probably know that, of Bemidji State. Not a real big college up in northern Minnesota. Frankly, I don't remember the guy's name. I can see a picture. I can see him in my mind, and I imagine that someday in heaven I'm going to get the chance to see him. But I was really annoyed by that fellow because he was just stopping by just to remind me that, well, just his presence was reminding me that I needed to get right with God. At one point, I was living across the alley from this church. Literally, across the alley. I lived above a funeral home in Bemidji, and I would go down the steps and cross the alley and right into this church. And I visited that place. I decided to stop by there. I visited maybe, I probably stopped by there maybe four or five times in a row. The interesting thing, and I don't mean to be negative about some things, but it just as I reflect upon it and I think about it, and I'm familiar with that church now, even to this day. I know some people who know those people, but the interesting thing is that nobody, in the whole time that I'm just this college student. I've probably got longer hair. Well, you know how it was. What do they call that? Long hair you don't have around your ears. Mullet. I had one of those mullets, but I had my hair kind of long in the back. I probably didn't shave. I probably was up the night before and spending some time downtown with some friends. And nobody ever, the whole time I went there, four or five times in a row, nobody ever said hello to me. I mean, there might have been a few nods, but most didn't really know what to do with this young, scraggly-looking fellow that decided to stop by, and so I stopped stopping by. I think of a fellow that was in our church a while back. George was a guy who passed out the bulletins at our church every Sunday. His amazing fellow, an older fellow. He was a tough old farmer. This was a fellow with just some big, bushy eyebrows. He had leathery skin. He had a real rough, gruff voice. I mean, every time he talked to you, he would just be breathing heavy. And you know, if you were to hear him, for me, as I listened to him, I thought, man, that just kind of sounds scary. And it just always amazed me. Here's the power of God. It just always amazed me because a number of times, and you'd think he'd scare people off for coming in the first time. He'd be passing out the bulletin. Oh, are you? Here's a bulletin, you know. And here he'd come in, this gruff, gruff voice, and people will come up to me after and say, who was that nice old man over there passing out my bulletin when I came in? See, I think that something as seemingly insignificant as passing out bulletins is no little thing. You see, there are really no insignificant acts. There really are no little things that don't matter. I mean, just here a couple of weeks ago, some of you purchased some backpacks and you brought by your gently used clothing and we handed those things out to our community, and whether we believe that or not, those little acts are going to be significant in somebody's life at some point. No little places, no little people, no little acts. And there's something in us. There's something in us that tends to think about inferiority and insignificance and to think that we don't matter. And that little act of kindness doesn't make any difference, or that little shake of the hand doesn't make any difference, or that nod of the head doesn't, or that smile that creeps up on your face, that doesn't matter, but it does. And so I'm just trying to figure out how to help us to get a sense maybe that who we are is eternally life-changing for the people who live around us and who walk around us and who work with us. That the way that we live and the way that we respond to the people around us is far more important than any program that we could ever come up with. That things like friendliness and warmth and, and hospitality, that those things will trump the most dynamic worship service, that will they will trump the most biblically presented sermons. Those things are the things that are important. You know why? Because all of us, every single one of us, is in search to belong. Every one of us searches for some place where we fit, for some place where we feel welcome. And several years ago, some of you may have watched the show on television, Cheers. It's a place where you go where everybody knows your name. Now, I really hate to admit this, but at one time that was my life. That was my life, and people would go not because the bar had the best beer in town. It was the place where you felt comfortable. It's the place where people knew you, where they didn't care who you were, where they didn't, it just didn't matter what you did. You see, when I think of Bethlehem, I just keep coming back and I keep on asking myself, what in the world does that tell us about significance? You know, about trying our best to be what God calls us to be. Not important, not flashy, just faithful. And I guess the point that I'm really trying to make this morning is it's just really, really simple. And it's this, what we do matters. Who you are really makes a difference. And God has every one of us where He needs us so that we can be Jesus to somebody. To a neighbor, to a co-worker, to a customer, to a family member, to a person at Walmart, to a person on the street. I just read a study the other day that stating that the national average of regular church attenders is about 20%. And what that means is that about 1 in 5 people on any given Sunday, at best, 1 out of 5 will attend church regularly. Now, this isn't a sermon about church attendance, but it just, you think about that. I was thinking about a friend of mine who leads a church in Minnesota, Alexandria. They run about 600 people every Sunday. And so I just got to think, you know, maybe we can call them, I can call them up and I can invite them, their whole church, to come over here to Viroqua, and we could have them partner with us, and we could just send their whole church into the city of Viroqua to knock on doors and invite people to church. I mean, you think about it, in less than a half a day, that church could touch every person in this community. But you know what? It wouldn't matter. You know why? Because they don't know them. Because they don't know them. They're just strangers out of town who knock on doors. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about... But you know what matters? You and me. Because they've seen you and me. Because they've seen us. They know us. They watch you. They've seen your struggles. They know your failures. But they know you. It's significant. And in the context of your life, they have a chance to have the most significant thing in the world happen to them. They get introduced to the one who came in the flesh in a little town, in an insignificant place, in an unknown stable. So what happened? What happened that night in Bethlehem? God became us. I mean, it's just that simple. God became us. There's an article in the Christian Standard here a while back by a fellow by the name of Matt Proctor. I went to school with Matt. Matt was talking about his little kid that loves to look just like his daddy. I thought this was really cool. He dresses like his daddy. He talks like his daddy. He holds his head like his daddy. He smiles like his daddy, and every time he sees his daddy doing something, he does it. And then he says, same, same, daddy, same, same. You know what? That's what happened in Bethlehem. God said, same, same. I'm just like you. I'm human. I'm coming in the flesh. I'm giving up my safety. I'm giving up my comfort zone. I'm coming because I want to be with you. And Jesus says when he leaves, I am sending you the same way that I came. To just go and live among people and to be me. I wonder if you know any of these places. I'll mention them. Cove Gap, Pennsylvania. Caldwell, New Jersey. Lamar, Missouri. Hope, Arkansas. Tampico, Illinois. All unincorporated little villages scattered across the United States. Basically unheard of, except for one thing. Anyone want to guess? That's good. The birthplaces of an American president. It isn't the place, is it? I mean, well, it's the person. It isn't the place. New Life Christian Church, Viroqua, Wisconsin. It's the person. It's the embodiment of Jesus showing up in somebody's life to make a difference. But see, that's the way God works. He works in some insignificant events in ways that are almost impossible to capture. Believe it or not, another influential person in my life, though I've never had the privilege of meeting him, is Billy Graham. I almost got to meet him one time. I actually got my hair cut in the same place that he and his wife got there, where they would get their hair cut. And actually, the guy that cut my hair, he said, yeah, they're going to be in here in about 20 minutes. And we had to get off for lunch so that we can get back to our convention there in North Carolina. But I got to hear a whole story about it. He was by this fellow that there in North Carolina. I can't think of the town that we had that. Huh? Yeah, just outside of Asheville, about 10 minutes. And he had pictures of Billy and Ruth Graham. So that's my fame. I mean, I almost got to meet Billy Graham. I mean, they were scheduled to come in. But he was a great preacher. Probably most thing that I think about him is just being a person of integrity and of faith and of influence. And do you know he was influenced by a guy by the name of Mordecai Ham? Who was influenced deeply by the great evangelist Billy Sunday. Who was influenced incredibly by a fellow by the name of Wilbur Chapman, who had been influenced deeply by a fellow by the name of Dwight L. Moody. And Dwight L. Moody was a shoe salesman in Chicago, and his Sunday school teacher, a fellow by the name of Kimball, woke up one day and he said, you know what, that young Moody, he ought to be in church. And so he walked down to his shoe store and he invited Dwight L. Moody to come to a Sunday school class for teenagers. And you know what Moody did? And now today there's Moody Publishing and there's Moody the School and there is Billy Graham and all the stuff that he's done by a simple chain of events that's not unlike strangers from a Sunday school class invitation. Because a person woke up one day and said, you know what, that boy needs to be in church. Amazing. See, I look at all of this and I think, you know what, there are some great things that God wants to accomplish right here in Viroqua. I'm just convinced of it. I really think that God doesn't want this community to be something that Satan has control over. I'm convinced of that. God's work is not done here. He is not done in your making changes in my life. He is not done making changes in your life. And the rest of the world may look at Viroqua, Wisconsin and not even know where to find it on the map. They may see it, They may see it as the most insignificant place in all of the continent. And we may look at ourselves and we may think, you know, we're just one of one church out of 20 maybe in this community. Well, what do we matter? But see, it doesn't matter what we matter. What matters is who's here, that God sent His Son to invite your life and to invade your life and to transform you and to shape you into something that's different, so that when you go out into the community that God, can use you to be Jesus to the people around you, and there will be no insignificant acts and no insignificant people and no insignificant comments, because God is not done here. Let's pray together. God, I recognize, God, that it is so that so often, God, that we think of these small little things as so insignificant. We don't see how incredibly much we matter. And I think the reason for that, God, is that oftentimes we focus on ourselves and don't recognize that, in fact, it's really all about You. God, I pray that You would help us to put that focus on You, to really recognize that You are the one that needs to be honored and glorified, and that You can do that in some amazing ways. We see that time and time and time throughout Scripture. We just need to give You the glory and the honor. And Father, to be faithful to You. And so I pray that today, as we leave this place, as we enter outside of, or as we leave outside these doors, that You would impress upon us that desire to be faithful and to bring honor and glory to You through our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.